Grab yourself a Bible, open it up to Proverbs chapter 15. Just a quick announcement for you. There is a MOPS meeting this Tuesday, so we do need the chairs stacked up and some tables brought up to help the MOPS set up for their group. MOPS is Mothers of Preschoolers, and we'd like to help them out to get things halfway set up for them so they're ready for their meetings. We're in the book of Proverbs in a series called To Know and Understand Wisdom. Basically, we're just pulling out topics in Proverbs to find out, what they mean to us and what God wants to communicate to us. So the big idea is to know and understand wisdom. We want to gain wisdom, but we also want to put it into our life to understand it. So that's where we are. And we're in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here this morning. I pray, Lord, that as we study your word, that it helps us to know who you are and what you've done in a better way, Lord. And I'm just thankful for each person in this church for the fact that they love you and they desire to hear your word and lift your name in praises. So I pray now that as we hear your word, that you would just minimize the distractions so we can focus our attention on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today is Valentine's Day, and if you're a guy here and you woke up this morning and said, uh-oh, what am I going to do? I'll just give you a couple of suggestions. One is don't grab our communication card and make a homemade card out of that. Won't fly. Two is you can send yourself on the retreat next weekend. You can say to your wife, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do for you. I love you so much. I'm going to go on this retreat to become a better Christian, a better husband, a better father, whatever. But yes, today is Valentine's Day. And because I'm doing this series in Proverbs, I came across the topic of love. And then I was thinking back in all my years of preaching, I don't think I've ever did a sermon fully on love. And now we really can't scratch the surface in some senses because so much of the scriptures are about love. We're going to limit our time and our attention to just what the Proverbs have to say. But before I do that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to bring you up to speed on Valentine's Day. And, some of the legends that kind of are held about why we even celebrate Valentine's Day. One legend said that Valentine was actually a priest in the 3rd century in Rome, and Emperor Claudius II decided that men made better warriors when they were single. Men made better soldiers when they're single. So he outlawed marriage. And Valentine was a priest who was secretly officiating weddings for couples. So when Claudius found out, what do you think happened to this guy? Yeah, he died. Okay, he got killed. Mysteriously. No, he was killed. The second story suggests that Valentine, as far as St. Valentine's Day goes, was a prisoner that was actually helping Christians escape the harsh prisons in Rome. While he was in prison, he fell in love with the prison guard's daughter, and he was eventually killed, but they found his last correspondence with this young lady, and it said it was signed, "From Your Valentine." Okay, so those are two kind of legends. Nobody really exactly knows who this Valentine's Day was kind of like named after. It was a Saint Valentine, and there was different legends surrounding it. And some believe that it was celebrated in February because it was the anniversary of Valentine's death and burial. But others also believe that Christians rose up this Saint Valentine's Day to replace a pagan festival that was actually being celebrated. And the pagan festival about fertility was called Lupercalia. And basically, Christians decided to start celebrating this holiday of love to kind of go against the pagan holidays. But today, we obviously celebrate Valentine's Day with greeting cards and candy and dinner out. Women prefer jewelry, right? Women prefer jewelry. You like gifts. So it's this holiday of love, really romantic love. And some of you are thinking, yeah, I came to church to get away from this stuff, okay? I didn't want to deal with this stuff. But we all realize, though, that there are different kinds of love. There's not just romantic love. There's friendship love. There's family love. There's love for things and love for places and love for experiences and status, symbols and titles and all different things like that. And we can all agree. I could stand up here and say, I love God. I love my spouse. I love my family. I love cookies and I love my job. And all of you know that I mean different things when I say I love these things. But love is also very complex, isn't it? Because it's an emotion and a feeling in a sense, but it's also an act of will. And if you've ever been to a wedding that I officiated, or if I officiated your wedding, you know that one of the things that I say at weddings is this: love is not only an emotion and a feeling, but it's a daily decision. Some of you have been married for a long time, realize this. It is a daily decision, because sometimes in life, people that you love can make you angry, can betray you, can make you very unhappy. And that, at that time, your feeling or emotion of love is going to wear thin, isn't it? You feel that warm feeling a little bit less and a little bit less when somebody is at odds with you. So at this point, you have to decide, will I continue, or will I choose, act of will, to love this person? Whether it be your spouse, a child, a parent, a friend, a coworker, whatever it is, you are choosing to love. Love is obviously a biblical teaching. The scriptures teach all about love. And the truth of the matter is love actually comes from God. And 1 John 1:8 actually says God is love. Not love is God, okay? Don't be confused. God is love. So everything within the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, encompasses love. And God is actually love. He created love, so to speak, for us to enjoy. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to learn three things from the Proverbs that teach us about love. And then we're going to learn three more ways, in a sense, to communicate love to the people around us. Now, these aren't the only ways that we communicate love. These aren't the only things that we know about love. But from the book of Proverbs, that's what we're going to learn. These three things about love, and then three ways that we can communicate love to the people around us. Now, the first thing I want to point out in Proverbs chapter 15 is this: love makes life better. Love makes life better. And some of you are saying, you don't know me, okay? My life is worse because of love. We'll get to that part, okay? But love makes life better. Proverbs 15:17 says this: better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. So what this verse reminds us of is it does not matter necessarily what we're doing as much as it matters who we're with. Okay, it doesn't matter necessarily what we're doing as much as it matters who we are with. Being love and extending love toward other people is far better than possessions, food, or destinations. Wouldn't you agree? I would agree with that. I would agree that you would rather be with people that you love than be somewhere good or eating something good or experiencing something good with people that you do not love. Actually, some months ago when I was doing some research, I came across a study, a survey about people that relocated, people that moved. And, you know, I think it's pretty appropriate to share this morning, because most of you walked out of your house and it was whatever degrees it is outside and you said to yourself, why do I live here? Okay? Unless you love the cold, then you're like, I love to live here. But you said, why do you live here? And you ask yourself this question because you're thinking, oh, I could be somewhere warm. Then you log on Facebook and your one friend that you can't stand anymore is on vacation right now, taking pictures of their feet with the ocean behind it. And you're like, oh. So you're thinking, why do I live here? And then you have to answer this question, right? Why do I live here? And then you answer it with what? Everybody I love is here. Everybody I love is here. So when I was doing, when I found this statistic, it actually turned out that only 1% of the people who relocated based upon destination. But it was high in the 50 percentile range that people relocated to be closer to family and friends. Okay, because why? Life is better when you can give and receive love. Interestingly enough, the Proverbs use this dinner illustration. It says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox where hatred is. Like, so picture this feast with great food, okay? Then picture this not so much of a feast. And if you're a vegetarian here, sorry, okay? Because this is basically saying if you just have a bunch of like plants and stuff like that, it's not really a good feast, okay? But here's the point. It's using this illustration to say, it's better to have a meager meal with people that you love than it is to have a great feast with people that you don't really want to be around. Think about this. How often do you invite people over to your house for dinner that you don't like or don't want to be around? Okay? That doesn't end your thinking, well, that was Christmas, Pastor Mike. No. Purposely invited people, okay? Purposely invited people over to your house. So here's what the scripture is telling us. It's better to be around people that you love. Think about this. Maybe I'm weird. I don't know. I think maybe you're just as weird as I am. But here's what happens when you go to a wedding, right? You see that one table with all those little table place card settings. So you go in there and then you find your name, alphabetical order, right? Find your table. You're like, okay, table 10. What's the next thing you do? Don't lie, okay? Who else is at my table? Who else? Oh no. Oh, no. Like, so that could really make or break your wedding, right? Who you're sitting with, who you're with. Oh, no, I don't know that person. Or, oh, I'm with them. Or, yes, I have the best table at the wedding. I'm with all the people that I want to be with. So think about this. Love really truly does make life better, doesn't it? Being around the people that you love just makes life better. The next thing that we learn from the Proverbs is this. Love protects. Love protects. Proverbs 20:28, it says this. Steadfast love and faithfulness preserves the king. And by steadfast love, his throne is upheld. So now what this next passage is saying, the king that loves the people will be protected by the people. The king that loves the people will be protected by the people. When you give out love towards other people, the return is they give love back. This type of love protects. A leader that loves the people is protected by the people. This is true, really, in all facets of life. If people feel that we love them, they will return that love. And it protects a lot of things. It protects a relationship. But the truth of the matter is when we give out love towards other people, they give it back to us, and there's a degree of protection. Now, this reminds me of this documentary I watched on the Hawaiian legend Eddie Aikau. Some of you might have heard the name Eddie Aikau before. He was a big wave surfer. There he is. This is like late 60s. That's before leashes were on surfboards. Big, heavy surfboards, and when they ate it, they had to swim all the way in. That's Eddie at Waimea Bay. Now, this documentary is actually on Netflix. If you have Netflix, I would suggest watching it. It's just not just for surfers. It's a really inspiring story. And I'm going to sum the story up for you. But Eddie was a big wave surfer. He was a Hawaiian, born, bred Hawaiian. And he was a big wave surfer, and he surfed this place called Waimea Bay, which that's what he's surfing there. And for years, there was no lifeguards at Waimea Bay. People lost their lives all the time. They drowned all the time. It's a huge surf break. And so Eddie and some others really petitioned. They wanted to get lifeguards out on this beach. And Eddie was selected as the first lifeguard for Waimea Bay. It is told that during Eddie's time, as when he was on duty, not one life was lost at Waimea Bay. He saved every person that was in trouble. Not one life was lost, which is amazing when waves like that are coming in. So Eddie really, he just had a love to protect people. Like people in the story had said, like, you know, he just wanted people to be able to go to the beach and have a good time and return home to their family. He loved the people. Eddie didn't only love the people in the water, but he loved people on land, because in the mid-70s, what happened was a lot of traveling surfers started to come to the North Shore of Hawaii. And it caused some problems, because many Australian surfers, surfers from the States, surfers from South Africa, and tensions started to rise. The lineups where they would surf started to become increasingly more crowded. A lot of the contests that were held, some of the Australians started winning. With that, some of the Australians started really bragging about their wins and pretty much downing the local Hawaiians. And there was one, he's still alive, his name is Wayne Rabbit Bartholomew. He was one of these Australian surfers. And he was the magazines were taking out ads of him like really bragging and being really arrogant about his winnings. This really raised tensions in the mid-70s with the Hawaiians. They got really mad, and basically they formed gangs and different things, and they would literally grab one of these Australians on the beach and beat them up. It got so bad that Wayne Bartholomew, the Hawaiians actually took a contract out on his life. They wanted to kill this guy for literally surfing and being arrogant in the surf. So what wound up happening was this guy was literally trapped in his hotel room, couldn't leave. If he was trying to get out of Hawaii, he couldn't get out of Hawaii because he was afraid he was going to die. Here's a knock at the door. Who is it? Eddie Aikau. He didn't really know Eddie Aikau. He knew he was Hawaiian, but Eddie Aikau walked in and said, "You know what? We have to figure this out. We have to stop this." Eddie intervened. All of his Hawaiian friends, family members, and stuff, they were on board with getting these Australians out of there. And Eddie said, "You know what? We have to work this out. We have to peacefully work this out." And he did. If you watch the documentary, you'll see Wayne Bartholomew. He says, he's like, "If it wasn't for Eddie Aikau, I don't know what would have happened to me. If it wasn't for him, I don't know what would have happened to me." But then in 1978, Eddie was one of 12 people chosen for this prestigious journey. They built this this replica double hull canoe, a Polynesian canoe, that was said to be similar to the one that the original Polynesians landed in Hawaii. They sailed from Tahiti to Hawaii. So Eddie really wanted to be on this because he felt like this was getting in touch with his Polynesian roots. He felt that, you know, this was something that he was able to do. So he was chosen as one of the 12 to take this like 5,000-mile journey and only be guided by the stars. No modern-day tools or anything like that, because they wanted to do it just as the original Polynesians had come over. So the day came where they launched this boat. Eddie and 11 other people were on this boat. It was a very stormy day. They launched it. They said they shouldn't have launched it, but with all the fanfare, they still did. The boat made it about a half a day, capsized in the heavy seas. All the crew is hanging on this boat. No one died. All the crew is hanging on this boat for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 hours. Finally, Eddie says to the captain, he's like, "I could take this surfboard and I could paddle to land." It was about 12 miles. He's like, "I could paddle to land and get help." So he took the surfboard, took off his life jacket, jumped on the surfboard as he was used to doing, and started paddling. And they watched him go off into the distance. About 5 hours later, the Coast Guard came to rescue the boat. They all thought that Eddie made it to shore and told them and to come and rescue. Unbeknownst to them, when they got to land, they found out nobody had seen Eddie. Eddie never made it. 5 days, the Coast Guard searched for Eddie Aikau. Never was found. Not a surfboard. Nothing was found. They never found Eddie. But this was the plaque that was put on the restored Hukulea boat. "No greater love has a man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Eddie Aikau. We know who that scripture is about. We know that that's not just a statement, but the reason why I wanted to share this story with you is here is a man who loved people with the protective kind of love that he was willing to really lay down his life, and that's what he did. He was willing to go get the people. He was willing to go get the people to rescue. But we know the truth of the scriptures tells us that the love Jesus has for us protects us. It protects us from being eternally separated from God the Father. See, Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God. And the Bible says this, all who believe will have eternal life. See, this verse is really about Jesus. Greater love has no one than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. So love makes life better, and love also protects. But the next thing that the Proverbs teach about love is pretty interesting, and it's this. Love displaced can harm us. Love displaced can harm us. Have you ever loved something or someone and it brought you harm? Some of you are like, "Yeah, you know, that person, they really did me wrong. They really harmed me." Or have you ever loved something? Maybe you just love something, whether it was a material possession, a job, something that just you loved so much and it actually harmed you. So maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was a substance. Maybe it was money or a material possession. It was something in your life that you loved and it harmed you. And after the fact, you become hurt, bitter, angry. Maybe you've even gone down this road. "I will never love again." Well, you know what? That's an unhealthy way of looking at love. You're responding to the displaced love and the harm or the hurt that's come to you, and now you're saying, "I will never love again." See, if you love something or someone that has harmed you, you have to ask yourself this question. What can I learn from it? What can I learn from it? Proverbs 1:22 says this. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Okay. You know what simple means? Simple is a nice term for you're not smart, okay? This comes in the beginning of Proverbs because Proverbs is all about knowing and understanding wisdom. So right out of the gates, this father is saying to his son, how long, O simple one, will you love being simple? See, one of the goals of the Christian life is the pursuit of wisdom, not continuing on in our simplicity, so to speak, or stupidity in some cases. So we need to learn valuable life lessons when we displace our love. This will happen to all of us at some point in our life. We'll displace our love. We'll love something that will harm us. So what we need to do is we need to learn valuable lessons and not continue to repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again. Some of you realize this in relationships, right? You have to come to the point where, you know what, if you have 5, 6, 7, 8 relationships that went bad, and you keep on saying, that person's crazy, and that person's crazy, and that person's crazy, and that person's crazy, and all your friends are looking at you saying, about that person. I know about the person that's standing in front of me, okay? Eventually, you have to learn your lesson. Eventually, you have to learn from your mistakes. When you displace your love, and it's continuing to harm you, you have to realize maybe something's wrong. Proverbs 8:36 says this, but he who fails to find me, talking about wisdom, injures himself. All who hate me love death. So now what it's saying is this, if you displace your love and you continue to not search out why or what you need to learn from this, what you're saying is you actually hate wisdom and love death. You hate wisdom and love death. So in the words of, you know, an old song, sometimes people are looking for love in all the wrong places, and they realize this. All it leads to is brokenness, heartache, pain, and sometimes death. So we realize this about love. Sometimes we can have this strong emotion or this act of will to choose to love something that's not good for us. That's not good for us. So knowing these things, now we have to ask this question. How can I communicate love to other people? And this isn't talking about romantic love. It could consist of romantic love. But how do I communicate love to the people that are around me? And the first way that we communicate love to the people that are around us is by speaking words of life. What do I mean by that? Proverbs 18:21 says this. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So now what the scriptures is telling us is this. There are words of life and words of death. Well, that's kind of weird. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Words of life are words that help people, that encourage people, that inspire people. And words of death are words that hurt people, that don't inspire people, that don't encourage people. We all realize that the power of our words can either build someone up or tear them down. Now, some of you know this full well because you were brought up in an environment where words of hate were shared with you a little too much. Maybe people were mean to you. They were nasty to you. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe just the way that they spoke to you and the things that they said to you are burned in your mind forever. So here now, you're in a situation where you've been spoken to like that for so long, you have a hard time not speaking to others like that. Some of you would even use that as an excuse and say, well, that's the way I was brought up. But I would say you need to stop. You need to draw the line and say, you know what? Words of death were spoken to me all my life, but I will not continue that. Not with my children, not with my spouse, not with people around me. I will not continue that. What I will do is I will start to speak words of life because that's what I wanted and that's what I know that the people around me want. Ralph Waldo Emerson said it this way, our chief want is someone who will inspire us to be what we know we could be. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I want to be around, and you want to be around people that speak words of life, people that encourage us, people that want the best for us, people that desire the best for us. But notice this at the end of that verse, if you're still in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know what that's saying? Those who love it will eat its fruit, meaning if you speak words of death, the fruit of that in your life will be people will look at you as a mean and nasty person and somebody they don't want to be around. That's going to be the fruit. Do you want that? Hey, I want no friends. I want people to not be around me. I want people to run when they see me coming because they know they're going to get it. No, nobody wants that. But the fruit of words of life are people want to be around you. They desire to be in your company. They desire to hear what you have to say. They make time for you because you're the type of person that's always encouraging to them. So a way to communicate love is really speaking these words of life. This is tough. This is tough because I know people hurt you. And I know it's hard to conjure up those words of life when people hurt you. But this is what Jesus wants for us. This is how he desires us to live. Jesus actually says, let your light shine before all people. Because you know what? Some of you have this down with your family, okay? You could speak words of life to your family because they love you, you love them, everybody's happy, and things are going good. Then you go to work. Not so much, okay? It's hard to say nice things to people at work because they're so mean. Well, guess what? Be a light that shines before all people so people know that you're a follower of Jesus. You know how much of a light you can be in an environment where most of the words are death? In some senses, I'll encourage you, it's going to be really easy. You don't even have to say that much because everybody else is saying so much darkness. You ever meet somebody that you kind of like, you hear them talking and you're like scratching, I wonder if that person's a Christian. I got to find this out because they're different. They talk about different things. They say different things. The way they treat people is just different. Are people scratching their head when they see you because you're not any different, but you say you're a Christian? Words of life are what should come out of our mouth to communicate love to the people around us. I mean, think about that story I shared with Eddie Aikau, right? He went to that guy's door, the Australian, really his enemy in some senses. He was a Hawaiian. Okay, all of his Hawaiian friends and family members and stuff wanted this guy dead. But what did he do? He let his light shine before people and said, you know what? I want to make peace with an enemy of my people. Didn't Jesus do something similar to that? Doesn't it say in Romans, not only did he died for people that were who? His enemies. That was us. Because of our sin, we set ourselves up as enemies of God, and Jesus was willing to do this act of love towards us. The next way that we can communicate love is our willingness to forgive. Proverbs 10:12 says this, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. You know what? We're going to encounter people in life that want to hate. They enjoy conflict. They want to criticize people, and they have no interest in peace. You know those people, right? Some of you work with them. Some of you live with them. These people are types of people that enjoy conflict. They don't want things to settle down. But the person who loves has a willingness to forgive and doesn't love that conflict. So a person that communicates love is willing and ready to forgive. Listen to what Mother Teresa, what she rightly said about this. She said, if we really want to love, we must learn how to forgive. You know why she said that? Because you and I can safely say that if you love someone, you will be called upon to forgive them at some point. Let me say that again. If you love someone, you will be called upon to forgive them at some point. Why can I safely say that? We're not perfect, okay? Not one of us. So we will always wrong people that love us. And it's our decision right now, right? If you love someone, will you forgive them? Will you forgive them for how they have sinned against you? And you know what? If you're not willing to forgive them, if you're not willing to extend forgiveness, your love for them is challenged. Not only by them and not only by the people around, but even by yourself. Because now you have this internal dilemma. Do I really love this person enough to forgive them? Do I really even love them? Maybe I don't want them in my life. So these are the thoughts that you're going to go through. So this is a difficult thing because, you know what? Some people get hurt really bad. People do really mean stuff. People do stuff that some would say in the world, that's unforgivable. I would never forgive them for that. But what I would suggest to you as a Christian is this. Forgiveness has to be something that you're willing to dispense, and it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. The reason why I said willingness to forgive is it's in your demeanor. You're the type of person that's not looking to find fault. You're actually looking to extinguish the situation and offer forgiveness in the situation. I talked about forgiveness probably some weeks ago. I can't remember exactly when. But if you have a problem with forgiveness, the best thing for you to do or for me to do is to look at Christ. He forgave us in all of our sin and all the things that we've done. I'm not saying this is easy, but what I am saying is this. A way to communicate love to other people is having this willingness to forgive. And finally, this one is probably even more difficult. And a way that we can communicate love to other people is through confrontation. Through confrontation. Proverbs 27:5 says this, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Nobody's getting that in their Valentine's Day card today, okay? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. If you are doing the wrong thing or going the wrong way, the person that loves you the most is the person that's willing to say something. Do you agree with that? The person that loves you the most is the person that is willing to say something to you. Not to other people about you, but to you, okay? If you're doing the wrong thing, if you're going the wrong way, the person that loves you the most is the person that's willing to say something to you to help you to get on the right path. This is difficult to do, isn't it? But it needs to be done in a gentle and loving way. But the important part is this. You have to know deep down that you're doing this to communicate your love to this person. So knowing that this communicates love, here is going to be the test. This goes both ways. Because somebody might come up to you and say what you're doing is not right. Now you have to look and say, this person loves me and they want the best for me. See, oftentimes we don't like that, do we? Oftentimes, many times, we don't accept what they have to say because we don't want to accept the truth, do we? Someone once said this, truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. You get that? Truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. So if you know the truth deep down, but you're going to continue to disobey and continue to go the wrong way, then your loving friend or family member comes up to you and says, you're going the wrong way, all of a sudden, now you have a choice. You could be angry with them, or you can listen to them. It's difficult, isn't it? It's very difficult. I know a lot of marriages where people, it's like they almost think that they're working against each other, but they won't see that the person has a love for them and wants the best for them and wants to correct them and wants to guide them and wants to help them. So it's so important for us as Christians to not only be willing to confront, but be willing to be confronted. Listen to what Proverbs 9:8 says. And this is so interesting, and I really think it caps this whole point off. It says, do not reproof a scoffer or a fool, and he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. So here's the thing. If you reprove or correct or confront a fool, they'll hate you. But if you correct or confront or reprove a wise person, they're going to love you. See how this, it's the hardest thing to do is to go up to somebody and confront them. But notice this, the return is this, if they're wise and if they're pursuing wisdom and they're pursuing love, they're actually going to love you. It might not go well at first, but at the end of the day, that person's going to say, you know what? You really do love me because you said the thing that was hard. You said the thing that I didn't want to hear, but I needed to hear. You were the one who actually went to me. So you're trying to communicate love, but notice this. The love is returned to you for doing that. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to work right away. But at the end, when that person comes to their senses, what's going to happen is this. You're going to receive love back. And they're going to know that you're the type of person that truly loves them, even when it's difficult. So I believe through the Proverbs, when we do these things, we communicate love to the people around us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for each person that's here, and I thank you for the love that you've given us. So I pray now, Lord, that we could give that love out to other people, that we could communicate love in the ways that we discussed, that we can understand love a little bit more through your Proverbs. So I pray now as we leave this place and go out into the world and be around family members, friends, and coworkers, and neighbors, and whoever is in our path, Lord, that we show the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.